Well, good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to you who are mothers. I hope you're excited to be in the house of the Lord to hear His Word. We'll be in Psalm 139 this morning, but before we turn to the pages of Scripture, let us pray. Lord, we thank You for today. We thank You for the gift of life. Lord, we thank You for the gift of eternal life through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and our faith in Him. Lord, many of us have come here today, this morning, struggling, hurting, confused, discouraged, overwhelmed with situations and people in life, struggling with not knowing the next step, struggling with not knowing how to put the past to death. And so, Lord, we ask You that You would free us from all those things that hinder our relationship with You. And Lord, like the psalmist would say, that You would search us, O God, and know our hearts. That You would test us and know our anxious thoughts. That You would point anything out in our life that offends You and lead us on the way of everlasting life. And so, Lord, this morning we invite Your Spirit to do what only He can do. So, Lord, let us have ears to hear and hearts to obey the precious Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, for some of the service, we've celebrated Mother's Day, and rightly so, we celebrate moms. But this morning, I want to celebrate all of life in a way that I pray would inspire you and give you passion and desire to live the life that God has for you. I want to celebrate in Christ who I am, where I'm going, and celebrate the fact that God knows me more than I know myself. He knows my heart. He knows my thoughts. He knows my desires and my motivations. He knows the tensions that I face, the struggles that I face. And that's one of the greatest things about Psalm 139. You'll see verses 13 through 16 on the screen. Psalm 139 is an awesome place of Scripture to go when you are struggling about some of life's most important questions. Why am I here? What is the reason that I exist? Where is God in all of life? And so I encourage you to spend time in Psalm 139. And what happens in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16? David pulls back the lens. Long before the day of x-rays and ultrasounds and all those things that would show life being breathed out and life being constructed in a mother's womb, long before technology, David understood something about God, his God, that God knows him, that God knows you, and that God knows me. When nobody else could see you being formed in your mother's womb, long before you were an aspiration in your mom or dad's life, God knew you. He called you by name, and He loved you before you were formed and as you were formed. I think oftentimes we don't see ourselves in that light, do we? We don't see ourselves as one who is fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't see ourselves in the context of one that is in just interwoven in such a way that this complexity of life and how God created the greatest miracle in life to celebrate life. We are bombarded with what the world says about life. High school student, when you go to college, you are a number. And as long as your mom or dad and you pay the bills, your number is good. But the second that stops happening, your number goes bad. We have so devalued life in our society. We've so devalued life, in many cases, in the church. And I think because we're bombarded with what the world says is valuable, how you look, the achievements that you have, we miss the biblical worldview of life, the fact that value is found because God created us. God made us. And so my objective this morning, just so you know, is to give you a broad stroke of what it looks like to have a biblical worldview of your life. And the first truth that we're going to look at this morning is your life matters to God. Listen, all this is going to be simple stuff. For those of you who have sat in a pew your whole life, you're going to be like, man, this was not earth-shaking for me. Listen, we are not going to talk about deep theological truths per se, but I'm going to tell you, every single one of us in this room struggle with that first truth. That my life matters to God. You see, we live in a country, by and large, that we can numb the pain of that truth. We can buy certain things that somehow promote a false sense of value. We can communicate ideas and thoughts by how we look to communicate this idea that, yes, I have value. But the reality is, until you know who you are in Jesus Christ, you will never truly understand the value that you have simply because God created you. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 14, the scripture says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Verse 14, he says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." How does it make you feel to know that God knows everything about you? It's a little scary, isn't it? Even the darkest parts of your life and your heart, God knows those things. What does it mean to you that God knew everything about you as He was making you? Does that bring comfort for you? That the struggles that you face today, the struggles that you face tomorrow, He knows those things. Does it mean something to you that when you read the Word of God, the Scripture tells you that you are His masterpiece? Ephesians 2 would say you're His work of poetry. I hope that means something to you. The Scripture says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in the very image of God. That word there, that you are wonderfully made, listen, you're not wonderful because of the trophies that hang on the wall in your room. You're not wonderful because of the degrees you have from school. You're not wonderful because you have the ability to sometimes obey mom and dad. You are wonderful because God is the wonderful creator. That is why you are wonderful. Our wonder, our ability to be fearfully made in the image of God comes from Him, not from us. That word, wonderfully made, that phrase is an interesting phrase. And I love what Charles Spurgeon says about what that means. Listen to what he says. He says, that phrase, wonderfully made, it's as if God painted the human body with a needle. Think about that for a minute. How long would it take to paint the human body with the pen of a needle, the head of a needle? The infinite detail, the infinite scope, the infinite wisdom and knowledge of weaving all those things together, the very DNA that is in your body, that's what biologists and scientists would call it. God calls it wonderfully made, the way He created you. And it's in that light that David does something. He praises God. He worships God. And I don't know about you, but that is a powerful thought. To know that simply because God made me in His image, I have the ability to worship Him. To praise Him. I think we've missed that simple truth, haven't we? Just the mere fact that He created us, we have the ability to worship Him and to praise Him. You see, there is incredible value just in the very fact that God created you. And here's what I want you to know from that. My value is found in my Creator, not in my culture. That's what I want you to know. That's what the Word of God wants to tell us, that our value is in our Creator, not in what our culture thinks. Culture will tell you that you need to look a certain way, be a certain way, act a certain way in order to show value. You have to somehow produce something to society. You've got to add value in life. But God doesn't associate value with productivity. He associates value with creativity. His creativity. You're one of a kind. You're unique. There is none like you. For me as a father, this is a huge truth for me. And some of you will relate to this. But we have a son who is disabled. And knowing and believing that He is fearfully and wonderfully made changes my perspective on His value before God. I didn't get there very easily. I was a man of great pride. Prior to conversion, prior to having a relationship with God, prior to even knowing who God was, my value was in what I thought, what I accomplished, what I achieved. Listen, a life lived in that manner produces incredible arrogance, an incredible pride. And I can look back and I can see God, how He stripped away certain athletic abilities. He stripped away certain achievements and relationships. He graciously called our first child home to be with Him. And it was in those moments that He began to shape the way that I view and I value life. And so now we have a son who's going to be 5 in July, and you know, he may not ever be the fastest one on the track. He may not be able to do some of the things that other children can do, but I can promise you, he punches really hard. And it comes from nowhere. He loves the Avengers. He is all about superheroes. He finds a weapon and he uses it. And I try to negotiate with him. I try to say, hey, listen, we're on the same team here. And I can't figure out how to persuade him that we're on the same team. I actually buy him the weapons that he uses against me. He did give me a shield one time, but the shield didn't quite work too well. He's awesome. I love my girls. I love them because God created them. There is value because of Him. As a parent, this is a struggle that we face. Because culture and society will say that your child has to end up a certain way. And I know the struggle. When your child begins to rebel, he's not rebelling against you, he's rebelling against God. And so we fight in a way that's not spiritual. We try to hover over our children. We try to create an idea that we're actually the Lord of their life instead of pointing them to King Jesus and saying, listen, I will pray for you and I will guide you and I will model a gospel life for you, but you have to choose on your own. And before you think that's not a big idea, one day you will meet your Maker. And the Scripture says, apart from Christ, your life in eternity is not going to be very pleasant. But in Christ, you'll have the greatest life you could ever imagine. And we falsely assume that weight. And we do it with the intentions of love, but it drives us crazy. Listen, I want us to realize in this church that we value life. That we value people. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, rich or poor, if you look like you just came off the streets or you've got a suit on, we value you because God values you. You see, the way God creates people compels us to praise and worship. When's the last time you got to that point in your life where you simply praised and worshiped God because He creates life? This is why abortion is not primarily a political issue. It's not primarily a social issue. It's not primarily a woman's issue. It's not primarily a children's issue. Abortion is a God issue. God values life. And so you and I should value life. Know that your value comes from your Creator, not from the culture. Second thing I want you to know from this particular part is, know that your roles describe your life, but they don't define who you are. Think about that for a minute. Your roles describe your life, but they don't define who you are. I love being a father. I love being a husband. I love being one of your pastors. I love being, hopefully, most of your friends. But they don't define who I am. They only describe who I am. Why is that significant? Why is that important to understand that your roles don't define you? They only describe you. You see, when we lose our perspective, when we lose our identity, what begins to happen in our life? We forget who we are in Christ. We forget why God created us. We forget the reason why He created us and the purpose that He has for our life, the very beauty that is in our life. Why? Because when we look at our distinctive roles, husband, wife, father, parent, co-worker, all those different things, your pastor, we mess up, don't we? We blow it. I mean, you don't know how many times I sit in my office and I'm overwhelmed with pastoring. I'm overwhelmed with the burdens and the hurts and the future of where God is leading us. As a husband, I say things I shouldn't say. I don't respond patiently and compassionately to my children. There's times in our marriage that we functionally are married and not living our married life the way God would want us to live. I'm just airing out my laundry for you. But what hones me back? What brings life? What provides the foundation that I need in life? It's knowing that in Christ, that is my identity. I don't know if you struggle with that. Don't let your roles define who you are. Because when you find yourself looking in the mirror and you're not a good parent, or you feel like you're not a good spouse, or you feel like you're not a good role model, or you feel like, man, I blew it, I should have shared Christ, and I didn't because I was busy, I was scared, all those things, Satan will attack you. He will convince you that because you cannot fulfill the very roles that describe you, then no longer can you be defined by the one who created you. Listen, the Scripture says that you are His treasured possession. The Scripture says in Christ you have the very inheritance of Jesus Christ. The Scripture says in Christ you are a new creation. In Christ the dead is the past is gone. The now is here. The Scripture says that we have new power in Christ. The old self has been crucified. The Scripture says that in Christ we have the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, giving us desires for life, giving us power for life. That's what defines you. The Scripture says that there is nothing that you can do right now to cause Him to love you more, and there's nothing that you have done in your past that would cause Him to love you any less. Let that sink in for just a moment. That my life matters to God. That my value is found in my Creator, not in the culture. And that my roles will describe who I am, but they do not define who I am. Where is Satan causing you to doubt your identity in Christ? Where are you questioning your value and your worth? Are you trying to be the person that somebody else wants you to be? Are you embracing the blessings of what God has created you to be? Your life matters to God. If you are a son and daughter of Jesus Christ, you're in good company. Not only does your life matter to God, the second thing is your life is now. Your life is right now. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and live however you want, and you eat, drink, and be merry. That's not what I'm saying here, but your life is now. Listen to what the Scripture says in Psalm 139 at the very end. Verse 16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when I was yet, when as yet there was none of them." Basically, the Scripture is saying, listen, God not only knows when you're going to be birthed into this earth, but He also knows when you're going to be taken away from this earth. He knows the number of days that you have. And in that time frame, birth to death, He's got a plan and a purpose for you. You are His workmanship. God says, nothing is hidden from me. I know everything. I know every thought, every deed, every word. And He says this, it all points back to a bigger plan. It all points back to a bigger narrative. You see, our single greatest purpose in this life is to know that we are loved by God, to love God, and to love other people. And one of the ways that we show our love to God and to others is by living life now. Living life right now. The question is, what keeps us from living life now? What keeps you and I from living life right now? I wonder how many of us this morning aren't living the passionate, joy-filled life that God desires for us right now. I wonder how many of us are missing the incredible opportunities to show Jesus to those who are in your life simply because we are not living life right now. What are some things that deter us from living life right now? Three things: past experiences. And I can't cover every past experience, so I can't do it, but I'm going to give you some things that I think will hone in on that. Past experiences. There are several experiences that can keep us living the life that God wants us to live right now. Guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. It's the past moments in your life that keep coming back in your mind, and they speak to you. And they say things like, God can't love you. God can't use you. Look at all the stuff you've done. You're damaged goods. You're a throwaway. That's what the culture will tell us. That's why it's important to have a biblical worldview of life. The enemy will come in and create in your mind ideas of guilt and shame. You've been divorced. You've had a child outside of marriage. You're addicted to pornography, drugs, or alcohol. You've walked out on your family. You're not worthy enough. And you never will be cleaned up enough. God can never love you. God can never use you. God can never forgive you. And so for you, your biggest deterrent for living the life that God wants you to have right now is because of your past. Past guilt. Past shame. The Scripture says in 1 John 4:9-10, "And this love of God has made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There's the theology that you're looking for. Propitiation. The very penalty that is due because of our sins, God absorbs through His Son, Jesus Christ. He paid it in full. He absorbed the very wrath of God on our behalf. Your guilt, your shame is no longer on your record. He absorbs it for you. You see, guilt and shame is not the end of your story. Restoration, reconciliation, redemption, and a relationship with Jesus, that's the end of your story. In Christ, you get those things. I am in no way saying that the past sins that you've committed don't still have consequences for day. I am not saying that whatsoever. There are certain sins that happen in the past that you will have lifelong consequences of. But in Christ, you can live life now for His glory and for His honor. What about hurt and pain? How many of you have been hurt tremendously in the past? Maybe you've been hurt by someone you love. Maybe it's a spouse or a child or a family member. Maybe for you, you're sitting here today and a long time ago, your parents disowned you. Maybe your spouse abandoned you. Maybe your hurt and pain isn't that, but maybe it has something to do with medical reasons. Maybe in your past, there was something medically that hurt you or caused pain in your life. A diagnosis, a condition, a disability. Maybe it was a loss of a child. Maybe you're barren and you want to have children, but you just can't seem to have children. Whatever that past experience is, whatever that pain and hurt is, in Christ, He can heal all of our wounds. Scripture says in Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cry to You for help, and You have healed me. Hurt lasts a long time, doesn't it? We will never be able to love God and love others and love ourselves until we allow God an open door to heal the wounds of our past. You see, sadness is not the end of your story. Joy and peace is the end of your story. If you're in pain this morning, if you're hurting for any reason, I encourage you by faith to cry out to God. He hears your prayers. He answers your prayers. He forgives entirely, and He heals deeply. You see, God does not desire for you to live your life in pain and regret, but in peace and in joy. Praise God, we are not defined by the events of our past. In Christ, you are a new creation. You see, the events of your past don't tell the whole story. God tells the whole story. He sees the person whose past shame and guilt of sin are redeemed and restored. He sees the person whose life is marred with hurt and pain restored and healed and full of peace and full of joy. Are you allowing the past experiences in your life to stop you from living life now? Another reason why we don't live now is because of present circumstances. Present circumstances. I think sometimes we just get too busy, don't we? We get too distracted, thinking about all the things that need to be done, all the things that need to go here and there. We have kids that we're trying to raise, marriages that we're trying to salvage sometimes. We have people at work that we're dealing with, situations in our own homes that we're dealing with. We have unruly children, unhealthy marriages. We have dysfunctional workplaces. And because of our present circumstances, we fail to live the life that God wants us to live now. This is the phenomena that I think most of us live in. It's the when-then phenomena. You know what I'm talking about? When this happens, then I'll do this. When I get this bill paid, then I'll do this. When my kids move out, then I'll do this. When I get this new job, then I'll do this. When I get married, then I'll do this. When I have a child, then I'll do this. When I retire, then I will do this. The list goes on and on, doesn't it? If you're refusing to live your life now because you are waiting for something to stop or start happening, you will always be chasing the next thing. There will always be something in your life that you want to change. God is the God of now. He doesn't want you to miss out on the blessings that are right in front of you right now. The scripture says in Psalm 118, 24, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You see, don't wait until years pass by before you reach the conclusion that I wish I would have lived my life embracing the gifts that God had placed before me. Don't do that. Some of you are just overwhelmed in the season of life right now, not because of anything you're doing, but because of things that are happening to you. Maybe you're in a family environment where you have a child that's rebelling and running, and maybe you're dealing with all kind of different health issues, or maybe it's financial issues. Just everything is just piling on you, and you want the peace and the joy that God offers. You've cried out for that. That's what you desire. You want unity in your family. You want restoration in your family. You want reconciliation in your family, and you're just worn out. Let me encourage you with 2 Peter 1:3. It says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence." Listen, the season of life you're in right now, God would never put you in a place where He doesn't give you the power to sustain. It's divine power. It's divine grace. And so when you find yourself in weakness, when you find yourself desiring something that is not there, know that God has equipped you through the Spirit of God, through His presence, that He will get you through it. I think another reason why we don't live life now is the future what ifs. The future what ifs. So we have the past, we have the present, and now we have the future what ifs. Many people don't live their lives now because of the future what ifs. The person who is overcome with fear, the unknown future, what it will cost me, what will other people think. You see, we would much rather live lives of comfortability, won't we? Don't we? We want lives that are somewhat predictable on some level. But you know what? God didn't call us to lives that are comfortable. He called us to lives that are courageous and bold and inspired and lives of faith. Not living life based on what is seen, but living life based on what is unseen. The very promises and perspective that God has for us. I love Joshua 1:9. Think about it here. Joshua takes over the realm from Moses. They go into the promised land. There's, you know, it's one thing to see someone lead. It's a whole other thing to be the leader. Totally different. Joshua is a little overwhelmed, and what does God say to him in verse 9? He says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He knows where you're going. He knows where you're headed. He created you for a specific purpose. He will give you everything that you need to fulfill His will in your life. Living your life right now doesn't have to do with changing your circumstances. It has everything to do with changing your perspective. There's lots of things that scare us in life, isn't there? If we're not careful, if we don't realize that we need a biblical perspective of life, we will live our life in fear, always wanting more, because we know God has called us to something deeper, something greater. And God says, listen, be strong and courageous. Why? Because I will never leave you. I will be with you wherever you go. You see, God is not caught off guard with the season of life you're in right now. He's present with you. He's showing you His grace, His comfort, His power. He knows your future. He knows the obstacles that are ahead. And what we need is a change perspective. That's why Romans 12:1 and 2 is so important. Listen to what he says. He says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, by the very gospel that is presented to you for salvation, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." What does that mean? It means in a society that we live in that wants to remove God from our thoughts, move God from the ability to overcome our past and sustain us in the present and to pave the way for the future, Paul says, listen, put God back into the equation. Put God as the focus. When God is the focus, you can see that He heals the past, that He empowers your presence, and He lays the foundation for the future. It is the grace of God that covers your past. It is the grace of God that empowers you today. And it is the very grace of God that paves the way for your tomorrow. We live by faith and not by sight. Do you see what God sees? Are you joining in what God is doing? Are you living life right now? How many of you have said a line like this, life just goes too fast? Man, as a father that's getting older, that phrase is true. It seems like life is going so fast. Don't let life pass you by. Don't allow your past to hinder you the life that God wants you for now. Don't allow your present circumstances to deter you from living life now. And don't let the future what-ifs deter you from living the life that God has you right now. Third and final truth, your life is worth sharing. Your life is worth sharing. What do people need to hear? What is going to be the thing that has the potential to change somebody's life? It's your story. It's your life story. Think about that for a minute. The only thing that has the ability to change our lives is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. Some people say, man, I just don't have that great a testimony. You have an awesome testimony. If God has changed your heart, if God has brought you out of death into life, you have a powerful testimony. You know, and I think we know that. We know that. But do we believe that? You see, here's what I think often happens in our life. Instead of sharing our story on how God has redeemed us and restored us and given us new life, we tend to think about telling people the rules of life, how to be a good person, how to live a moral life. Think about how we parent our children. We spend a whole lot of time telling them what to do and what not to do. Instead of pointing them to the person and the work of Jesus Christ that can has the ability to change them. Here's what I want you to know. The Christian journey is not about being good, it's about being changed. That's the story that people need to hear. Because when the heart changes, your life changes. When the root of your life is changed, the fruit in your life is changed. Think about that for a minute. You got a coworker that maybe is living a life of homosexuality. Listen, he doesn't need to hear that God's against that. On some level, he may already know that. You know what he needs to hear? He needs to hear that the grace of God delivers you from the dominion of sin. That's why I love Romans 6:14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but where? You're under grace. The Scripture is not talking about being good. The Scripture is talking about being changed. That is the story that you have the ability to share with somebody about how your life was changed. Maybe for you it's not a past of homosexual temptation or sin. Maybe for you it was a time where you wanted to be divorced, or a time that you wanted to walk out on your marriage, or maybe it was a temptation that you had in life of alcohol or drugs. You know what? People want to hear the story on how that was redeemed. Maybe for you it was a death of a loved one that you really struggled with, and it was the grace of God that healed you. That's what the world needs. The world needs to hear your story. You see, your life is worth sharing because Jesus is the center of your story. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have a powerful testimony? As a Christian, do you believe that the gospel is the only means for transformation? Are you not ashamed of the gospel? When Jesus is the center of your story, you will want to share your story. Last thing, one of the greatest witnessing tools you have is a life changed by Jesus. That is the value that is put in you. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about this treasure that is in jars of clay. Talks about a life that is perplexed, confused. A life that is, in some sense, overwhelming. A life that is fragile, a life that is vulnerable, a life that is broken. And Paul says, listen, though your outer self is wasting away, your inner self is being renewed day by day. What is that inner self? It's the life that's been changed by Jesus Christ. And so when we work with people, when we minister with people, it's important for us to see them the way God sees them. That their life matters. That God wants them to live in the fullness of Christ now. And that not only does God want you to share your story, but He wants them to share their story. Because He is the one that has changed their life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that You would bring us to a place of response. Lord, I do believe that we're bombarded with false ideas of life. And I thank You for Your word. I thank You that I know by reading Psalm 139 and through the power of the Spirit's work in my life, I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That I am valuable because You have created me. And so, Lord, I ask You to remove anything in my life that doesn't cause me to live the life that You've called me to right now. And, Lord, that You would give me power through Your Spirit to share Your story through my story. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's the next step for you? Maybe you're here this morning and you didn't know that God created you. Maybe you've thought that it was some kind of evolution. And through today's message, you realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by a Creator that wants to know you. And you want to know Him. So today, if you want to come to faith in Jesus Christ, I'd love for you to come forward. I'd love to share with you about Jesus. We'll have someone counsel you with you. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with your identity. Maybe you've allowed the world standards to confuse you on what life is all about. To know that God values you. That He wants you to live your life now. Maybe it's the present circumstances in your life right now that are overwhelming you. And maybe you don't feel like you're being the husband or the wife or the father or the mother or of your children the way you want to be because life has happened. And so you want to confess your sins before God or just ask for healing from God. The altar will be open for you. Whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do, I pray that you would rise up and obey the Spirit of God. Let's stand as we sing.